Hello, it's episode 164 of the Vookcast. I'm Stephen. We're here, we're going to do a quick Vookcast because there was a mini Nintendo Direct, so we'll do a mini Vookcast. That's how it works. Welcome to the jungle. Oh, we've got Fun and James. How are you?
I'm great, but not after that.
I'm glad. And I don't have
it's all downhill from here.
I don't have a song, but hi, Ben.
Hello, I'm also here.
Ben was on
maybe a long time. Maybe I'm the fun.
Oh, yeah, we've got Ben and James. That probably would have worked even better. I really wish I'd done that now. Oh, well. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the Nintendo Direct, the miniature one, and we'll basically go down the list of everything that was announced and have a think about them, really. So, number one, The World Ends With You, Final Remix. James, do you have some thoughts? Do you have some ideas?
I think it's, like, exciting that Square Enix hasn't dropped this game. I think a lot of people kind of... I'm sure there are a lot of people who really, really enjoyed it on the DS. Maybe on the mobile as well, because it did come out on mobile. Although the mobile version was a bit, you know, not good. Well, not good. They just kind of took out some stuff that was good. I think it'll be interesting to see how they, like, kind of rework this for, like, a single screen and for non-touchscreen controls and stuff. Yeah.
Having said that, there are touchscreen controls on the Switch.
Yeah, there are, but, like, I don't see this being one of those, because I know there's, like, a select few games that you can only play with no TV mode. So, like, I think Severed is one, and then that weird rhythm game that I've forgotten the name of. You have to play those handheld, because you need the touchscreen, but I just can't see them doing it for this one. It's really cool that they're adding new content in, which I think kind of paves the way, or potentially gives room for, like, a sequel. Yeah,
and I think based on the controls, I remember seeing in the trailer that there were definitely like Joy-Con-based controls. It looked like you could move around two different like reticles on the screen to target and stuff like that. Yeah, I remember I played a little bit of it on DS, and it seemed very, very sort of built around the dual screen, touch the bottom and affect things on top. From memory, it was almost like 8 years ago that I played it. But yeah, it seems like they're going to rejig it.
That's... A big problem for me is I played it ages ago, so I don't remember a lot of it, and I'd have no reason to revisit it now. I might as well just wait for this to come out. But yeah, I like that it's, you know, it's pretty much going to be untouched, hopefully, from what was on the DS, and they're adding new stuff. I do wonder how what this is going to be priced at. Like, I don't really know if it's going to be, you know, worth $79, $89, which is, like, our retail pricing. Be interested to see how it's priced, but yeah, like, I think it's a nice little thing for Square to put on the console that no one else really has, and it's a game that I think a lot of people probably didn't play.
Not
as many people played as much as they should have, compared to, say, just chucking another Final Fantasy or Kingdom Hearts or something on there, you know?
Yeah, the exact kind of example is me. Like, I bought it ages ago, but I just didn't finish it, but I know so many people that thought it was just absolutely incredible. So yeah, I'm lucky. I'm just gonna wait till this comes out and give it a go when that happens, sometime in 2018 apparently.
And following on from that, I think it was one of the I could be wrong, but it was certainly during the zeitgeist, if I can use that word, of the DS, and there were so many Mario Karts and Pokemon, well, not perhaps Platinum, but Heart Gold and Soul Silver, and I was certainly playing a lot of those at the time. This is just one of those ones that slipped under the radar for me. And that really sharp art style, I think, is going to be really nice to experience with a HD screen.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I'm sure a lot of that came through with the iPad, but being more of a traditional console gamer, I would prefer it on the Switch, and so it's really nice that it is coming there. So I'm definitely looking forward to giving it a shot.
A lot of potential there as well with the HD rumble for the music-based gameplay as well. I think
if they
do that right, it'll be amazing. And I hope they do.
And naturally, I suppose this is one of those games where it's going to be a sort of a vote with your wallet scenario, and hopefully they'll see that there's interest in the franchise itself.
Yeah, so something that there is there, I don't know if there's much interest in this, but we might as well cover it. So there's new characters and support characters coming to Pokken Tournament on the Switch. That sigh probably says it all, but it is, there's Aegislash and Rayquaza Mimikyu combo coming as, like, Rayquaza and Mimikyu are support characters coming on the 31st of January, and on March 23rd, you get Blastoise with Mew and Celebi support characters. I don't know if Pokken has had really any legs, like, in, you know, since it came out. I know they brought it back to Switch, and I guess people are playing it, but I just haven't really heard much.
I know some people who follow me on Twitter, and some people I know really enjoy this game, but I just could never get into it, and I feel like no one cares about it. That being said, was it not at a tournament recently, like a major one, or am I just making that up?
I'm going to say yes, because I don't know any better.
Yeah, I feel bad because we didn't really prepare for this particular story. I think it's cool that they're adding, you know, a new and an old Pokemon, I guess. It's just that the type of gameplay in Pokemon never really appealed to me. But it's nice to, I guess, the people who have bought this, potentially for a second time, are still getting kind of post-launch support, even though this is paid.
Yeah, that's been a bit of a topic of contention I've noticed on Twitter. I think it's like in the high $20 range, so people are a little bit...
That's really like $10 per Pokemon, if that's the case. Like, that's a bit nuts. Mm. I think that's worse than most... I feel like that's worse than Mortal Kombat and Injustice, and potentially even Marvel vs. Capcom, but I could be wrong.
It's not good to be comparing to that, at least, anyway.
Well, I guess. My thoughts are that perhaps the cross-platform comparison might not be totally fair, given that it's a Nintendo game. But then you look at ARMS, and they've just finished up with all of their free DLC, and they had 5 fighters come to that game over the course of about, what, 10 months, maybe?
But then I think on the flip side to that, like, would you pay for ARMS DLC? Or, like, Lola, whatever her name is, like, would you spend money on her? Like, I don't think people... I think Nintendo couldn't get people to pay for ARMS DLC because it's like it was a new franchise, it was very fresh, it's definitely not for everyone. But then Pokemon, like on the other side of the spectrum, is like, you know, fucking nuts. Like,
but then you're paying for a literal sword with eyes
and a shield.
Well,
excuse
they
you,
could have picked, well, they should have,
and Garbodor
and Klefki should be put in it as well. Like,
what about the ice creams, Vanillax?
Yeah.
Come on, Nintendo, you know what we want.
Yeah, I don't really know if that this is like kind of a sign of what they're going to keep doing later on, like keep adding to it, but it's nice, I guess.
Yeah, if you're into Pokken, then we're happy for you.
Yeah, not my cup of tea, unfortunately.
I don't think it's bad. I just want to clarify, like, I don't particularly think it's a bad game. I just don't think it's for me. Like, I'm not having a go at the game.
I suppose the problem is... we specifically do juggle a lot of fighters in our online games, and this would just be adding another one to the repertoire.
Yeah.
It's too hard, like, because then I have to learn all the moves and figure out the game, and I've never played a Tekken-style game before, which I assume Pokken is somewhat similar to, so...
It's not really, honestly. It's 3D, that's about it. But it's still, like, it's got its own little, you know, systems and, I guess, idiosyncrasies, but, yeah, it's definitely not for me. But yeah, anyway.
I think Kirby Star Allies might be for us and both you and me, possibly. It looks like you're interested in this one as much as I am, James.
I like Kirby.
Kirby is delightful.
That's my thoughts.
I mean, you can't not like Kirby unless you're just a shriveled up human being.
No, I think people who don't like Kirby just don't like him in Smash Bros. Because people who play as him just float around like a dickhead and don't actually engage. Look, but they're always the last ones.
These,
you know,
personal attacks.
Admit, I did use the fly up as high as I can into the air and down B move for a good while, but also I think I was maybe 12 years old and playing Smash 64, so I could perhaps be excused.
Yeah, no, everyone did that. People still do that. It hurts. Anyway, I think that Kirby's been on a really good run lately. Like, all the games, the last two games are Triple Deluxe and Planet Robobot.
Robobot, but yeah, who knows?
So sometimes I chuck an L in there and it's like Roboblot. I don't know why.
Robloblot.
Yeah, but both of those games are like fantastic, like really, really solid little platformers. Really like inoffensive, you know, they're just there. They're not like amazing, like phenomenal, but they're good, if that makes sense. This looks to me a little bit similar to Kirby 64, like a bit closer to that, but...
What made that that comparison stand out to me is the whole mixing of abilities as an option now. So, like, similar to like Kirby Superstar and probably a bunch of others, you could have, like, a friend control a secondary character, or, you know, 3 other secondary characters if you have enough friends and controllers. And you can use... I think they're called friend abilities, but basically if you have certain combinations of abilities between you, you'll do a super ultra cool attack with something that makes sense with that combo, which is pretty neat. And it's something that I would have killed for this kind of thing. I remember playing through Kirby Superstar like ages ago with my brother, and it was just the best thing when you're, what, 12, 13 years old, however much it is. So yeah, hopefully there'll be a bunch of, you know, brothers and sisters and siblings that can do that and relive my joy on the Switch.
I do enjoy the variety that comes with the constant switching between the enemies in terms of what powers and the abilities and movement that each character has. So that's something I don't think in a lot of the, I suppose, the new Super Mario Bros. Games, if we're talking about modern platformers. There's not a whole lot of variety there outside the few power-ups, and obviously Kirby has a whole swathe of different abilities that he can copy and, of course, spit out a co-op buddy into. So I did enjoy that on the Wii. I can't quite remember the name of that one.
I think it was literally Kirby's Adventure Wii.
Yeah. So I actually really enjoyed that. So if this is just the HD version of that, I'm happy to jump on board again.
I think this is the first time Kirby's been in HD as well. Like, I know the obviously the clay one also happened on Wii U, but this is like the first time that kind of aesthetic has been brought over to,
I guess, vanilla Kirby.
Yeah.
I'm happy that they do sort of jump between this, I suppose what Steven's saying, vanilla Kirby, which is a straight up 2D platformer with co-op, and then the next cycle they'll jump back onto the arts craft worlds that they do, whether that be, you know, Yarn Yoshi, and then the clay Kirby, or I suppose way back on the DS, the Kirby's Magical Paintbrush, whatever that was called.
Yeah, there were so many
games. There's just too many to name. but it's nice that they keep jumping back on your straight up platformer, which I do enjoy. I suppose Yoshi tends to get a little bit trapped in the sort of kiddie arts craft world, but we'll see what happens with the next one.
Do we know if this has online?
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't seen.
Yeah, right.
Funny you should mention art, though, because that's one of his new abilities, is he can become an artist and draw various things that jump out and attack enemies, which is really cool. And also
like
he can be maximum spider.
Like that girl in Kirby 64.
Yes, exactly like her. What was her name? Who knows?
I feel like it was Madeline, but I don't think it's... I think it's Adeline or something. Madeline or Adeline or something like that. But she was mean.
What a bully.
We're waiting for Kirby to gain the ability to critique art as well.
Yeah.
Kirby just gets a Twitter account. Anyway, so yeah, that's all happening March 16 this year, so look forward to that, I guess. The next one I'm kind of keen on, and as is James, I assume, I don't know if you played very much, Ben, but the Hyrule Warriors, the game that's, you know, been on every Nintendo since Wii U, it's been on 3DS, and now it's coming to Switch, but it's going to have everything. It's sort of the definitive edition, so all of the DLC that was on the Wii U version and the 3DS version, which had its own sort of unique and I think entirely exclusive content, which always I thought was a bit weird, and it's nice that it's coming
to
this.
A lot of the characters were in on Wii U.
Oh, did they eventually come over?
There was a voucher inside for like the Wii U content to download.
Oh, okay.
I think. I'm not sure. I could be, maybe the maps. There were maps that were exclusive for Adventure Mode, but I never played the 3DS one because I heard it was like very bad to like run on the console. So
yeah, I didn't touch the 3DS version for exactly the same reason. And this, I think with the Wii U one as well, that one had some performance issues, especially when you did, it's not really split screen, but one on the gamepad, one on the TV, it sort of, the frame rate sort of tanked a bit.
Yeah, it was fairly choppy.
Yeah. But I'm really keen. It looks like this one you can do, it'll be 1080p on a TV and I assume 720 on the tablet. And you'll be able to do split screen on the Joy-Con on the Switch itself and the TV, which is, I'm really happy about that. I think this is the point where I finally jump into Hyrule Warriors.
I enjoyed what I played of it on the Wii U. Not to the extent where I was progressing past these almost like a checkerboard style challenge map, where it's just a giant grid of different areas and you had to play certain characters and complete certain objectives on the maps. So once I'd gotten past the story mode, I didn't have a whole lot of enthusiasm to get through the rest of that. And obviously, are these called a Musou-style game? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think it's Musou.
Or other people call it Warriors-style.
Yeah.
So this is the first one that I'd ever tried on the Wii U. My personal opinion is that I enjoyed it for the first 6 or 7 hours, and then once you sort of run through all those characters and scenarios, I personally felt it got a little bit stale. But it's nice for the fan service. It's really strange but rewarding to run around as Tingle and destroy people with flamboyant moves and balloons and confetti. And on the other side of the scale, it's great to run around as Ganondorf. As you all know, I love my big chin boys, so Ganondorf's good fun.
And he's not flamboyant at all.
not in the least. But yeah, I think the sort of fan service for me sort of expired a little part once you've seen the same combo 50 times and then it starts getting a bit hard.
Nah, it's good.
Wow, okay.
It was one of those games where I sort of ran onto the internet and I'm like, sort of like into Google, furiously typing, how do you enjoy this game? And people were saying it's more about like the strategy and you got to look at on the mini map and see how many enemies are in each fortress and which was should have the most priority and like that sort of didn't appeal to me. I suppose coming more from a Ninja Gaiden and God of War sort of background, I was expecting more in the combat system rather than the strategy. But that's just
I don't know. I think it's like I hate Dynasty Warriors. I hate Samurai Warriors. I've never enjoyed them. They've just never been my thing. I never understood why people liked them. And then I think I had to review this, or I just played it because I like Zelda, and the fan service really kind of got me through it. But like I went full on, like I finished story mode, I finished most of the grids on the adventure mode, but I never got any of the downloadable contents. That's why I'm kind of excited for this one, the Switch version, because it's fun to pick up and play for like a few missions, especially in adventure mode. But also because I want to try all those characters and stuff that I kind of missed out on.
Yeah, apparently really all that like content was really quite good, the post-launch stuff from what I heard as well.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
Comprehensive. Like,
I liked that they didn't just go for really obvious choices. Like I think it's Ravio or Rovio from Link Between Worlds is playable. The random bug girl, I think Agatha from Twilight Princess, like there's just so many weird choices.
Let's not talk about Linkle.
Yeah, Linkle. Yeah, I don't really know what. I personally am not a fan, but I haven't played as her yet, so I don't know. But it's just, yeah, I don't know. Like, there's just a different playstyle for each of them, and it was really fun kind of working out that, say, like, Ruto works better if you kind of jump from groups differently. And it's just, I don't know. I really liked it, is what I'm trying to say. And the characters are all fun and different, and it's not just like man with sword, woman with steel fans, and like man with big sword, you know? Like there's good variety to it all, I feel.
I feel as if we can't progress past Hyrule Warriors without talking about the story and the game exclusive characters. Specifically the dragon lance man, who just looks like a Fire Emblem extra.
Yeah, and that weird
sexy seductress.
I was going to say breast sorcerer, but that's not, I don't know if that's what the official title
sorceress.
Is.
Yeah,
and
get it right.
But her, like the other one, Lana, she's amazing. She was like nuts. She could like create like walls of light and squash people with them, and she was nuts. But yeah, it's sad. I think all these
not exactly A-tier storytelling, but we're not here for that when you're playing a Dynasty Warriors game.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure the whole plot of that game is she's jealous of Zelda. She wants to be with Link.
She's Ursula.
Yeah, literally.
Like, it's a very realistic story.
Yeah, but no one really buys this kind of stuff for the story. I hope.
I'm sure there's someone out there.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they price this at. There's enough content in here that I reckon they could maybe get away with full price, but then because it's a port, I also think, well, maybe not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll see on that. Apparently, we'll find out. Autumn 2018 is when it's coming out, so
I think the production values are there, so I think they'd potentially have it up at the $80 mark.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Well, Mario Tennis Aces was the next on the list, and I sure hope it's okay. I'm so unsure about this game. Like, I really enjoyed Mario Tennis on N64. I didn't play a lot of it, but it was good fun when I played with friends, and I think the GameCube one was okay. I'm sort of spotty on my memory there. But then you've got Ultra Smash on the Wii U, which was really extremely just, it was fun for about 5 minutes and I never wanted to play it again and I forgot to return it, so RIP me. But yeah, this one has a story mode, so that's, you know, a good possible sign. It's the first one since the GBA, I think, Mario Tennis Power Tour had a story mode. And yeah, as far as I can tell, it's developed by Camelot, so there's some positive signs. Hopefully it turns out okay.
I last properly played Mario Tennis on the 3DS, which I think is Mario Tennis Open, and it did feel very bare bones, and I think that sort of carried over into the Wii U version, which just really felt like an up-resed and HD Mario Tennis Open. And as you said, Stephen, I think that 5 minutes of playtime was actually with me on the couch.
It was,
and
yes.
We were both sighing in frustration. So, yeah, look, I don't know. I really, really want it to come back to what it used to be, which is that all-inclusive story mode, lots of single-player content. And even though the GameCube version was lambasted at the time for having the ridiculous abilities of each character and sort of pretty wacky and over-the-top with its core designs as well, I think they sort of lost that in the next two games that came after. And that's what makes Mario Tennis interesting, I think, because otherwise you might as well play a realistic tennis game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope they bring it back there because I love all the single player content in the older games.
I've noticed a few people on Twitter mention, this didn't stand out to me straight away, but it makes a lot of, well, it's kind of interesting to see that in the past couple of Mario Tennis games, it's been regular Mario characters and just regular Mario outfits with a tennis racket. But this time everyone's sort of in actual tennis outfits, which is, I don't know, maybe speaks to more effort being put into it. It's sort of hard to really extrapolate from that, but it was an interesting tidbit, I thought.
It also confirms that Waluigi actually brushes his hair.
Yes. Oh, he looks... Yeah, he's going to be interesting.
He's looking good.
Any thoughts on Mario Tennis or not really a thing, James?
My parents never bought me any of those Mario sports games because I didn't like sports, so they were probably like, he won't like this either.
Did you like driving, or did you never play Mario Kart?
Well, you know how I feel about Mario Kart, so no.
Oh, true.
Yeah. No, I think one thing, you know, like, I think it speaks to how the fans kind of feel that even though I've never played a Mario Tennis game, I know that a lot of people wanted a story mode back. Like, I didn't even know what any of it was myself, but I knew that that was a resounding complaint about heaps of the Mario game tennis games that had come out recently. I think Mario Golf used to have story modes as well.
It had a fair bit of single player stuff. I can't remember if it was story, but it was more than just arcade.
It was almost RPG-esque from memory. Unfortunately, it had a Game Boy.
I think in Japan they call them RPG modes or something. I might give this a go. Like, I like the idea because one of the screenshots has, like, you know, a map, and then there's one also has, like, you know, a picture of Mario fighting off against Petey Piranha. Like, I think that's a cool idea that there's actually bosses. That it's not just a sports game necessarily now. And then there's obviously that multiplayer element that has the more simple kind of, you know, Mario Tennis kind of gameplay. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it'll be interesting to see how it turns out, if it's going to be as comprehensive as people want it to be. I think, with Steve, when you say, like, everyone has some tennis gear, that reminds me of the soccer game that was on Wii that everyone really loved.
Yeah,
Strikers Charged.
So, yeah.
It's all worth it for the Waluigi crutch chop, just to come back to Waluigi.
Hopefully he can just be a well-groomed Waluigi crutch chop this time.
No, he looks too much like a gentleman.
You know he's a bad boy inside. Anyway, so the next game that was talked about on the Direct was... it's a game that was on PS Vita and PS4 up until now that I've kind of been curious about for the last however long it's been out, but basically never tried because Persona is a very long game and I don't want to play other RPGs until I finished it. But yeah, it's East 8, Lacrimosa of Dana, and it's a big old anime RPG, and I don't know, I've just heard a lot of people have some fairly positive opinions about it. It looks like it has... The battle system looks a little bit like Xenoblade, but from all of the reviews that I've read of it, it seems like it's a lot more friendly in how it doles out skills and lets you sort of learn how to deal with enemies and learn how to get those systems as you go through the game and stuff like that. And apparently there's some sort of aspects of base building as well, in that you've got villages and villagers that you have to keep happy, and sort of it just has a whole bunch of things always happening from what I can gather. I haven't played it. I don't think anybody else here has played it, but it's coming this winter and I will be jumping on board, I think. Any thoughts, anyone else, before we move on to something that's not anime?
The main character is named Adol, and that's what I know about that franchise.
Oh, yes, that is true. You are correct.
I think this isn't a game that particularly appeals to me, but there's a comment that's commonly thrown around that the Switch is almost like the new Vita, Do you know what I mean? And that, this to me kind of solidifies that idea. And I think it's great that, you know, your big RPGs that are, they're not just shit, like junk shovelware, are also coming on the Switch. You know what I mean? Like, you've got, got Project Octopath Traveler coming soon, and then this, and then It Will But Ends With You. It's just really cool to have, like, a lot of different RPGs, not just all the same shit.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Nice to see, perhaps not for the players of the franchise, but the way I see it, a bit of a niche RPG. Obviously, Shin Megami Tensei is on the horizon, but it's nice to see these titles that perhaps aren't as widespread outside of Japan come to the Switch in, yeah, almost that PlayStation Vita-style fashion.
It seems like it's kind of the same sort of tier as, like, a Tales RPG. I might be completely wrong, but I get the same kind of vibe in that it has its fans, but it's not sort of Final Fantasy level of famousness, if that's a word. But, yeah, happy it's coming to the Switch.
Agreed.
Cool. So there's Super Mario Odyssey content, which I think the most exciting thing about this is Luigi is in the game and he is a balloon man. But the rest of the content is that you have a hide it mode. So you find Luigi in a world, you talk to him and he gives you a balloon that you have 30 seconds to hide somewhere devious. And then there's a find it mode where you have to go around and find balloons that other people have hidden in the world. That's kind of about it, unless I missed something about all of that.
I have to admit, I had a sort of a fangirlish scream when I saw Luigi first appear, but then he turned around and had balloons on him, and I wasn't sure what to think at first, except for perhaps Tingle-related PTSD, to bring Tingle back into the mix again.
This is a
but
pattern.
Then when I actually saw what when I saw what the gameplay was all about, I was like, I want that more than just a reskinned Mario. Obviously, and anyone who's played the Mario games where Luigi's a playable character, you know that he slides further and jumps higher. But honestly, I'd prefer what Nintendo have done rather than just to introduce Luigi as a playable character, because we had that in Galaxy, so.
Well, what I kind of had hoped for, and I said this before to the other guys at Vooks, is like, they do kind of Super Peach's Odyssey, where, like, she's got her own hat, she's traveling already, given the story of how the game ended up, you know, it'd be really cool for her, and then just load it with fan service so she can, like, go revisit all these areas that she'd previously been to, but not as a visitor, like, more as a hostage. So, like, you know,
will she be able to use her emotions a la Super Princess Peach?
I hope not. I feel like we're past that point, but who knows? Yeah, so I'm sure there's still updates or maybe even more substantial downloadable content coming for Odyssey, but this is not really something I personally am excited for.
Yeah, I feel kind of similar.
I am playing Odyssey right now, and I'm probably going to play it into February because I was pretty late to that party. But I don't really see myself, you know, rushing out to... If I hadn't played Odyssey for ages, I wouldn't be returning to it for this, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I know what you mean, and I'm basically in that boat. Like, I'll probably play Odyssey a bit more, but it's not going to be to find balloons that other people have hidden on the internet.
You haven't even experienced Odyssey, Stephen.
I guess not. Well, I guess if I do wait a little bit longer, I'll be able to experience Odyssey with new outfits that are apparently a suit of armor, and everyone thinks that it's a Dark Souls suit of armor.
Which is a good way for the kids to sort of be eased into the Dark Souls frame of mind for Switch.
Yes, clearly.
But not the kids.
The kids, the large kids, the 30-year-old kids.
Yes. And yeah, new snapshot filters. I think they showed one off that was like
you could put
Mario's
on a coin.
Yeah, Mario's face on a coin, and it would like have his face sticking out of the coin. It's very hard to describe, but it looks really cool.
Look, the first thing I'm going to do is turn his body around so his butt can be on the coin. So,
yes.
Wait for that. Stay tuned.
Can't wait for the butt coin. The butt
me on
coin
Twitter.
Crash. We'll get to that later on.
Let's create a new cryptocurrency.
Mario's butt coin.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's butts in SNK Heroine's tag team frenzy.
Just to segue that in
yes.
quite smoothly.
So, we were having a bit of a chat about this before we started recording, just trying to make sense of what's going on with this game. From what I can gather, I didn't play it, but I know that there was a thing called Gal Fighters on Neo Geo Pocket? The SNK handheld, where it was
literally called the Neo Geo Pocket.
Yes, I think it actually was. But yeah, that had a game that was basically, hey, look, here's all the SNK female characters and they're all fighting in the fighting game, which is fine. And this kind of looks to be that, but on the Switch, it's sort of a all-female 2v2 tag team fighter. We weren't really clear of the gameplay. The trailer made it sound a little bit like you can, you know, do special moves and combos with a single button, and we can't quite work out what that means, whether it's the entire game is one button or, like, you can use that if you want to do some basic combos. It's sort of hard to tell.
I feel like it can't be one button. That's too simplistic. I think it's just, like, I don't know. It's not that, I swear.
My suspicion or kind of hope is that there's a one-button option, I guess, so people who aren't really confident with fighting games can still pull off some cool stuff without really needing to just really have to learn or get the dexterity to do combos and stuff like that. But yeah, hopefully it's more than that, because I don't think that would hold my attention very long. It's got items, and to finish off the character fights, you have to use a Dream Finish attack, which is basically like an ultra combo in most other fighting games, except it's purely a finisher by the looks.
Although interesting that seems to only be triggered when the person using it is on very, very low health, or critical health.
Yeah, I think it was when your opponent's on low health, you can use that to finish them off, is my understanding, but I might be wrong.
I thought it was the other way around, but also I might be wrong. That's not very clear for our listeners.
Yeah, that would be a hell of a way to turn around a match, I guess. But yeah, it's that. It's, I guess, probably better than the Street Fighter 2 remaster thing that they brought out if you want to play a fighting game. You can customize all your characters, give them different clothes and stuff if that's a thing you want to do.
Think the features, like the feature set, is really, really solid here. I think the problem is like it's undermined with this kind of questionable, you know, like just women and very fan servicey to the point where it kind of tips over into the kind of, you know,
creepy anime territory.
I mean, just don't see me playing this game on my Switch while I'm at their house.
Yeah, like, and I don't know. I just, like, why not? Why wouldn't they just make? Because to me, this game kind of looks like a fighting game that's not necessarily going to get itself bogged down in balance and being on the competitive scene and stuff. This is a game that's easy to pick up and play with some friends. Really easy for somebody who's never played it before to pick it up. And then that kind of Dream Finish mechanic, if that's what we think it is, that kind of means you don't necessarily lose if you've lost all your HP, you know? You can kind of bounce back, like it's...
Well, I certainly get the vibe that it's not ingrained in the current fighting game economy, where there's constantly DLC and balance updates, and the game's never really finished, so this looks like it's more of a neat package on release, is my understanding.
Yeah, and I just... Like, we were talking before how the trailers looked different, were quite different on the Japanese direct versus the American and, well, I guess, Western direct, where the characters had less clothes on in the Japanese trailer, which is bizarre, but also
it kind of speaks kind of, to the, you know, I guess, audience that it seems like it's going for, at least in Japan. And I guess it's going to be the same game here if they don't change too much of it, but yeah, you can kind of see where the appeal is. Or at least who they're trying to appeal to, I should say.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not particularly sure about the target market they're going for. Certainly, it's a very... Not that I have a problem with that. A certainly very feminine-styled game where a lot of fighting games, obviously, they have that balance between male and female characters. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I mean, if Dead or Alive can be a series with its questionable physics system, I'm sure that this can find a target market and carve into it.
Yeah, if it's what you're into, cool beans. But I know that everybody on this podcast is into Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, even though I've basically only played like 3 hours before the last. I played it to talk about it on the podcast when it came out on the Wii U, and then I never played it anymore. So here we are.
I loved Donkey Kong Country Returns, and then Tropical Freeze I enjoyed, I think, just as much, but when I revisited it, I felt as if the levels lacked a certain complexity in a lot of areas. Definitely, I wouldn't want to harp on a 25-year-old fiddle, not to put too fine a point on it, but Donkey Kong Country 2, it's difficult for that to be surpassed. Because
yeah.
Platforming, yeah, it's brilliant. And
But,
and that's a big but, It's really nice to see Donkey Kong continue to have a bit of prominence outside of, you know, appearing on the sidelines, such as in the Rabbids game, which we'll discuss shortly. So hopefully, again, one of those, almost like a weather vane, if people pick this up a lot, hopefully maybe Retro will come back for Donkey Kong Country 3 and complete the trilogy.
I think people will be upset if that happens, though, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. But, because we've waited for Retro's project for so long, and if it turns out just to be Donkey Kong Country Returns 3, like, I don't think people would be happy with that.
Oh, that's true. I suppose, more naive perspective, I'd hoped they would just do it at some point, but...
Yeah, I'm sure.
I wasn't particularly thinking about that project, but actually, think of it, I do agree with what you're saying, yeah.
I think Tropical Freeze is really good. I think it's obviously not as dark. I think DKC2 gets a lot of points because it has this kind of really unique, dark atmosphere that nobody has really captured well since then. And then on the flip side, I also feel like DKC3 has its own kind of feel that, once again, is unique and nobody is criminally underappreciated.
I completely agree with that.
And then Tropical Freeze, to me, is like the same kind of thing. Like, it's its own thing. It's not really trying to be the first game, which, to me, Returns was kind of a little bit like that. But Tropical Freeze, to me, was just a bit more of a... Just a... It was its own thing, you know?
If we're coming to sort of... Yeah, if we're coming to sort of atmosphere and, I suppose, video game environment, the two main problems I had on that side with Tropical Freeze is that they went for the themed boss and enemy approach, which can be good or bad for a game in this...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, in Tropical Freeze, I think it fell on the little bit on the not great side, and it was, you know, really annoying to be in the late game and still jumping on the little penguins' heads. So that I had a bit of an issue with that. I think I enjoyed the Kremlins. The Kremlins, that's a place in Russia. The Kremlings more. but then there were also a lot of diversity in the enemies outside of the Kremlings in the first three games. But
at least they're not the Tikis.
Okay, right? Yeah. Look, I forgot about the Tikis.
Exactly. That's how shit they are.
okay. They're not as bad as the Tikis, but I don't know. Like, just Icy Warus, man. Just move on, please. Like,
amazing.
Seriously, where's King K. Rool? Is he on extended vacation?
I heard this rumor. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if apparently Rare owns some of that stuff. Like there's a licensing issue.
I remember when the Donkey Kong Country games finally came to Wii's Virtual Console, and then they were all unceremoniously removed with an update that's still stuck on the Wii eShop to this date. The last time I checked, anyway.
I can't believe we've been this long talking about Tropical Freeze without mentioning, like, the cool new funky mode that is called Funky Mode.
Well, I was literally just thinking we should talk about what's new instead of just reigniting a three-year-old debate.
That's what we do.
Other M, that's, like, our brand. I think, obviously, Tropical Freeze, one of the things a lot of people didn't like about it was that it was quite difficult. Personally, I have no problem with difficulty in games. I think, you know, there is something incredibly fulfilling about, you know, repeating something and actually passing it.
Like, because, pulling,
you
know, it off.
You get better.
Yeah,
like, you get better. Well, like, that's what platforming is.
The funny thing about that is I don't think any of the minecart stages, and if you played Donkey Kong Country games, you know what a minecart stage is. I don't think any of them were as bad as the first couple in the original Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, I revisited them like 3 weeks ago, and you're right.
They're horrible. They're just
horrible. Disgusting.
And the hitbox detection on the carts when you're trying to jump over those gaps in the rails are just shockingly frustrating.
Yeah. But anyway, we're getting off the topic again. So I'm assuming in a bid to combat this, Nintendo have added Funky Kong in as a playable character. So now there's Dixie, Diddy, Cranky, and Funky Kong all playable in the same game, as well as Donkey Kong, obviously. And Funky
Where's
has...
Kitty Kong?
Yeah, Kitty Kong is missing. I don't think they liked Kitty Kong because his game bombed, maybe.
I don't think, unfortunately, anyone liked Kitty Kong.
I didn't. I have no feeling about him. I mean, as long as it's not Lanky Kong, like, we're good. You know?
No. Let's so not.
Funky can double jump, he can hover, he can roll lots, I think.
And he can land on spikes.
He can you know, do everything. He's just that cool.
I think that hits it on the head. Like, I really quite like how, instead of contextualizing it as, here is, you know, easy mode, invincible mode, you can't die mode, like super guide sort of stuff. It's like, no, this guy's literally too cool to die, so you can't. Like, he's so cool that he can do a hover with his surfboard and he can just surf over spikes. It's just sort of contextualizes it in a really cool way.
As previously explained, he is righteous.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it just opens it up to more people, which is great, because I really like I liked Tropical Freeze a lot, and I really wish more people played it. Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's coming out May 4th this year, and we'll play it when it comes out, I guess.
Do you reckon full price?
I think full price, yeah. I mean, I'd be willing to pay full price.
$80? But... Same as Odyssey?
I mean...
Well, obviously, when I say full price, I mean RRP.
Yeah.
Like, I know, you know.
I think, yeah, it'll be that, but I'm sure it'll be 60, 69 it's, somewhere.
On a sort of related note, it's bizarre to think of Donkey Kong Country Returns coming out on the Wii and being downgraded to the 3DS, and then Tropical Freeze being on the Wii U and being almost upgraded or upscaled to the Switch, but both moving to portable consoles.
Whoa, dude. That was deep.
No. I am going to notify Jaden Smith.
RSPCA.
No.
Well, yeah, you may have noticed that I skipped Donkey Kong in Mario Plus Rabbids because I read the word Donkey Kong in the list and just got very confused. Sorry. But yeah, Donkey Kong's in Mario and Rabbids. I don't know there's too much more information. They had a cool trailer and that it's like autumn this year, but they didn't really say much about how he's going to change up the game. Was there anything you noticed, James?
Not particularly. The thing that interests me the most about this is this this is the second piece of downloadable content for Rabbids?
I believe so.
Because there was, I swear that they kind of teased their new story content as being something kind of wacky and unexpected, and to me, this isn't that.
that's a good point. Like, yeah. The trailer kind of makes it out to be like, whoa, here's Donkey Kong, who thought he'd be here, but... I mean, there was a Donkey Kong Rabbit, kind of, the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, literally. Like, I don't find it that surprising. But yeah, I don't know. I loved Mario Rabbids. I thought it was really good. The story wasn't amazing, but, you know, it did the job. The gameplay was way more in-depth than it had any right to be. And it was just a fun little... Especially if you wanted to get, like, 100% or get perfects on every mission, which is what I tried to do. It was just a really good game. And more of it is not bad, I don't think. So, yeah.
Cool. Any thoughts, Ben? Yeah. I don't know if you've really played Mario & Rabbids.
I watched it with... I don't know if it was anticipation or just confusion ever since the original leaks that there'd be a Mario X Rabbids RPG. And then it came out to those surprisingly great reviews, so I've always kind of wanted to jump into it, but more a time thing sort of struck me down in 2017, so now that there's more free DLC, that's even more of a reason to jump on the bandwagon, so
I think I will. This isn't free.
Oh. You edit that out.
Yeah.
Your mistake will be forever known by the public.
Can you just edit out, the word free, and then it just, like, awkwardly string it together.
Sweet,
now that there is more DLC. So Nintendo, I'm quickly put up the season pass thing. In 2018, Ubisoft said there would be new unexpected story content with the season pass. So all we know so far is Donkey Kong is in it. I don't really know. Maybe the story that you play through with Donkey Kong in your team is crazy and unexpected, but to me, that's not unexpected.
Maybe Sam Fisher stole all of Donkey Kong's bananas, and that's why it's wacky and unexpected.
It literally wouldn't surprise me. Like, this is that kind of game, you know?
Maybe there's a Rayman cameo.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess we'll find out in autumn this year, apparently. Next thing on the list, now that we're getting back into the actual order, Payday 2 is something that I'm really curious to see how well it works on the Switch. I think this had already been announced, but they gave a bit more information that it's going to have local and online play with up to 4 people. Inventory will be able to be controlled through the touchscreen, which is nice. I assume that's not something you can do on anything else. HD Rumble makes guns feel different. Cool.
And safe cracking.
Oh, is that? Yeah, actually, yeah, we were talking about that with Josh a while back, so that's cool. And apparently there's a new character who is a timed exclusive. They are a Japanese person who is a hacker, and their name is Joy, and they have a mask that is a screen that is their face. It looks cool. But yeah, Payday, I really hope it runs okay on Switch. I know it had really massive issues on like PS3, PS4, and the Xboxes, but hopefully they optimize it to be good on Switch, because I think this would be a perfect game for, oh, look, there are three of my friends. Let's sit down at a table and rob a bank, or, you know, or online if you do it that way as well.
I don't want to jump into the unfortunate pile of shame which has accumulated over the years because of Steam, but that's where Payday 2 sits for me at the moment.
Yeah, I'm like that with a lot of Steam games.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to buy it, or I don't know if I want to say I've already had it for 4 years sitting in my Steam library. What are the odds that I'll actually try to play it on the Switch? So,
I've never bought it once, but the concept has always sounded interesting to me. And then I kind of got put off a bit because I think I played heists in GTA 5, and I was like, oh well, this is probably what Payday's like, so I won't bother. Which I know sounds really stupid, but I was stupid a few years ago, so... I don't know, I think that this... I think this is kind of an interesting game to pick. Like, I think Starbreeze is the publisher behind this, and, like, it's interesting of this to pick of all their games that they've put on the Switch, because, like, if it's going to live or die by how much it sells, because obviously it's mainly online. I don't really know how it's going to go on that front. Like, it's really hard to say.
Being a co-op centric game, does that mean you could keep it alive just with three friends, or are you more dependent on the online?
I guess
community?
No, you're right. You could keep it alive with just that. I will see. I don't know how it plays, so I we should have had Josh on this podcast.
Yes, that is how I understand it works. Yes,
I think it's not four versus four. It's just four versus enemies.
Yeah, it's just four versus the bank, from what I gather.
Yeah, right. I think this is. It'll be really fun, and like Ben said, you only really need three friends to get it going. But the longevity of it, I guess, and I'm assuming it's going to be quite pricey because it's a third party. Yeah, I don't know.
And I remember it had some controversy about its microtransactions at one point. It sort of everyone decided it was not worth playing anymore because they did something with microtransactions. But
I think they have addressed
that
pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, that's right. There was a big deal about them walking it back or changing it or something. So, yeah, I guess that's fixed in time for us.
Cool.
Cool. Well, there are a couple of indie games that were mentioned. There might not be indie games. Was one of them an EA original, or am I thinking of something else? I'm not sure.
FE or whatever is from EA, definitely.
Yeah, that must be what I'm thinking of, yeah. But yeah, it looks kind of like a 3D adventure platformer sort of thing, but super like musically focused, and the trailer made it sound like HD Rumble will factor into the music itself, so sort of each musical track will have a different feel in the controllers and stuff like that. I didn't really go into too much detail, but it looks very pretty. It's all I could really tell.
It's developed by a team who's previously just done mobile games, and they did a game on Wii called The Core Gang, but it's not really, yeah, like, The Core Gang, I don't know if you guys remember, but it was a game that was announced, like, 10 years before it came out, and it jumped platforms many times, and I don't think it came out to, you know, glowing reviews, but I think this is their first major game, because EA... kind of have their own label now called EA Originals, which is like for indie developers that want the brunt of money from a AAA publisher. And I think it looks cool.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Ben?
Just looks really aesthetically interesting, so I'd be happy to give that a shot, I suppose, more depending on the price point, but yeah.
Yeah.
Looks okay. Cool.
The most interesting thing about it is that apparently the design of it is, the idea is there's meant to be no kind of tutorials or instructions, like you just... look at how everything works in that world, and then you use that to kind of, I guess, do your own thing, like explore, kind of.
Just kind of like trial and error.
The environment informs your understanding of how to play the game, in a way.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Like, the kind of... I think the example they used in a previous, like, this is last year, is, you know, you can kind of... if you notice that a certain creature in the world likes a certain kind of flower or plant or something, you can use that knowledge to kind of overtake an obstacle that kind of looks the same as that kind of plant, something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it, you have to kind of see how things work. There's a lot of visual signaling and stuff, so.
That's pretty neat.
Just watch the trailer, everyone.
Yeah, please.
You'll see what I mean.
But yeah, the other sort of smaller scale, I think this is an actual sort of not published indie game, from what I can gather. It's called Celeste, and it looks like a sort of pixely, pixel art style challenge platformer, almost a little bit Super Meat Boy, a little bit Slime San, I think was what came to mind for me, because it has a similar like visual style. But yeah, sort of, you know, 2D jump around, jump on the walls, shoot things, avoid spikes, that sort of deal. But yeah, they made a big deal about how it's got an assist mode, which basically, I guess it's the funky mode of Celeste, where you can choose to do a whole bunch of different options to make the game a little bit easier to manage. So you can slow the game down or go completely invincible if you want to. And they implied there are a whole bunch of other different options as well. So yeah, I guess, you know, if you've always wanted to try Super Meat Boy, but just didn't have the patience or ability, or for whatever reason, you just couldn't persist with it, you know, here's something that you'll be able to adjust it more to your tastes and hopefully get the same joy out of it. Did we have any thoughts on Celeste?
I'm always keen for the next action platform, and you can't go wrong with, I suppose, an 8-bit or 16-bit graphic style is all the rage these days. And it's from the makers of Towerfall, which I have enjoyed many times in multiplayer sessions.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Towerfall has great, really responsive, tight controls, and it just feels right, and it just clicks. So that's obviously an arena battle game, whereas this is an action platformer. So I imagine they'll be bringing those really tight, responsive controls to 2D challenge levels. So I'm happy with that. As we all know, I love action platformers. I played through almost all of Super Meat Boy, except maybe for the last super difficult levels I didn't quite get through, when you had to be Band-Aid Girl. But I played the majority of the game. And yeah, I love action platformers, so I'm going to buy it for sure.
Cool. Any thoughts, James?
No.
Cool. I wonder... No,
I don't really... I'll try it when it comes out. That's really all I have to say. I don't get excited for this kind of stuff. Like, I kind of have to, you know, get the game feel going, if that makes sense, before it'll click with me. But yeah, we'll see how we go.
I mean, there's the final game that was mentioned during the direct. I was a little bit disappointed in the trailer. So they show this dark, dark screen with, you know, just lots of little details around, and then you see a vague figure of a person in armor. And then the sound happens and the bonfire is lit and it's Dark Souls Remastered, and that's basically it. So I'm very excited about this because, I mean, if you know me, you know that I enjoy the Dark Souls quite a lot. And I think it'll be good fun on the Switch. Like, it'll just be really cool for everyone who's kind of been Nintendo-centric. I know a lot of people just buy Nintendo consoles, and if, you know, this will be the first time they'll be able to try Dark Souls, it'll be really interesting to see how a whole different and new audience sort of receive this kind of game. But yeah, it's been, you know, sort of fully remastered. From what I understand, it's 1080p in TV mode, 720 handheld, and 30fps, hopefully consistently throughout both of those modes. That would be an interesting thing.
Are you forgetting about Blight Town?
Yeah, that's going to be the real test, I think, whether I can play Nintendo Switch in TV mode in Blight Town. And if that's consistently well-performing, then this will be like the perfect version of Dark Souls, basically.
Yeah. Taking Dark Souls on the road and to my mother-in-law's house, I suppose, is probably going to be the ultimate luxury in life. So,
which will be more difficult, real life or the video game?
When I'm in game, I have many lives.
Oh, no.
No, it'll be nice. It'll be nice to die on the go. I absolutely agree with that.
It'll be interesting to see how they deal with the fact that you can suspend a game at any time on the Switch, because, like, one of the big deal things in Dark Souls that people really either were okay with or absolutely hated was that you can't pause. Sort of the intention is that the game is basically always online. You could be invaded by someone or, you know, have online stuff happening at any point in time. And if you want to stop playing the game, you quit the game, and that's the only option you have. But if you can...
I feel as if that's interwoven into the ideology behind the game, in that you're never safe. And
yeah.
You can never stop, and it breeds that atmosphere of tension. But yeah, you're right. I'm not sure how that's going to work. I only have to imagine that your online character is just continuing to exist, and just suspending the game just means that it's not...
You're just not there watching.
Yeah, so I don't think they can work around it any more than that.
Because I know that, say, Bloodborne, because you can suspend games on PS4, but if you did that in Bloodborne, it would... I obviously don't know what it happened when you weren't looking at the screen, but I know you'd come back to it after not properly
server
quitting.
Disconnected?
Yeah, it'd disconnect you from the server and then give you a big sort of Mr. Rossetti diatribe about how you should quit properly. And I assume that's probably what they'll do here, but I think like with the whole idea of the fact that you can't pause, it makes certain sections you have to just press on. I know that myself at the start of Resident Evil 7, to bring up an unusual example, but it makes sense, trust me. I would, like, if I was really sort of scared at a certain section, I would pause, go sort myself out, come back and give it another go, and you just can't do that with Dark Souls. It doesn't give you that option, and it's kind of sort of the whole design of the game to make it so you can't fall back on sort of gamey crutches that way. But yeah, I'm curious how they deal with it.
I don't know about you guys, but I think I'm less excited. I'm more excited for the concept of what this means for the Switch, in that will we see perhaps From Software's next project, or perhaps ports of Dark Souls 2 and 3? Were there whisperings of the engine that this Dark Souls is running on? Is it similar to, or is it the same engine that Dark Souls 3 runs on, Steve?
I think James sort of questioned whether that's true when we were talking before the podcast, and now I'm not actually 100% sure if I just heard that through Twitter hearsay or if it was legit, but it looks like they are pulling a lot of features from Dark Souls 3 into it. So like the matchmaking is a lot easier in 3, that you can sort of set a password if you want people to join your session, and it just makes it easy to get there. Whereas in the old Dark Souls, you would have to sort of go to the same area in the game, be around the same level, and just kind of do a rain dance and hope that you join the right person when you when you see them. But yeah, this way it seems like you'll be able to be a bit more deliberate in whose games you join, and it's just kind of a nice quality of life thing.
I definitely enjoy the concept of it, of everyone sitting around on a couch doing a Dark Souls raid.
That's
something that just hasn't been done before, unless you've got multiple PCs or consoles set up in the same room, which is obviously a lot more effort than just bringing, you know, 700 grams of a console with you.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Is that up?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, yeah, with the online as well, apparently it's going to be using dedicated servers rather than peer-to-peer, so that probably will help things a lot.
Which is always great news in 2017, 2018.
Yes. I think, yeah, it's weird. I'm probably going to buy this game twice, because when I'm at home, if I have to choose between playing it on Switch and playing it on PS4, where it's going to have higher resolution and double the frame rate, I would feel like I'd want to play the best version of Dark Souls that I can at that time. But when I, you know, travel somewhere and, you know, go visit family or, you know, go somewhere else, it'll be awesome that I can bring Dark Souls with me and play it on a plane, or just go visit when I'm visiting parents and, you know, not really talking to them for whatever reason, just, you know, like it's because they've gone to bed or something, not because I hate my parents, they're lovely. But yeah, it'll just be nice to be able to play Dark Souls. Yes.
Look, is this a therapy session or a podcast?
It's a bit of both, let's be honest.
I think as far as games that you can pick up multiple files on, I suppose that would make a lot of sense for the more avid Dark Souls player, because most people go with different builds and different playthroughs anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe just keep your mage on your PS4 and your knight on your Switch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because the audience will likely be people that haven't played it before, whether, I don't know, it might be cool to be able to put down your summon sign and help complete newbies beat early bosses and stuff. That would be a really cool thing to do. Whereas I imagine on PS4, you'd be more skewed towards people that really like Dark Souls and want to play it again versus new players on the Switch.
Any thoughts, James?
Yes.
Dark Souls fanatic?
I've like gotten 20 to 30% through every Dark Souls game, but never actually committed to finishing any of them. I think it's great, like a kind of, I know this sounds really weird and almost insecure, but it kind of further legitimizes Switch as a platform. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's just, it's all of these games.
There's something about Dark Souls which just lends that almost, not adult, but we're serious about Switch now.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just nice that all of these different games, like, you know, Doom, Wolfenstein, Dark Souls, are able to be played on the same console as a Zelda, Mario, and Splatoon. You know what I mean? I think that's fantastic.
It definitely doesn't feel like in the early stages of the Wii U, it's like, oh, here's Ubisoft's project. Oh, and here's EA bringing their newest sport games. It's friggin' Doom. It's Wolfenstein. It's Dark Souls. This is big stuff. It feels like, yeah, a bit back on track.
Yeah, no, it does. And in terms of Dark Souls specifically, like, I just like that. I don't know. I personally, if I were to get this on Switch, I wouldn't play it handheld much. To me, Dark Souls really, I guess, resonated more with me is when I was kind of deep in that very oppressive, like, atmosphere.
Like the dark atmosphere.
Yeah, which was, you know, me, big TV, no lights on, whereas, you know, me, yes. Cramped plane chair, dirty kids screaming behind me, or like, you know, yeah, flight attendants hitting my elbows as I walk past, like, I don't know, it's not the same for me.
Yeah, I totally agree, like, there are so many sections in Dark Souls that, like, I lived with sort of housemates when I was playing through Dark Souls for the first time, and kind of... It's probably going to sound bad, but people learned that when I was playing Dark Souls and fighting against a boss, you just kind of don't walk in front of the TV because it's very distracting, and I was a bit grumpy.
Oh, were you one of them?
There may have been a time in Bloodborne when I had to try and kill the Bloodstarved Beast, and I was underleveled, and I spent some time on the ground rolling for multiple reasons.
But so yes.
that brings me to my next point. Will the Switch's Joy-Cons in handheld mode withstand the rage of an angry gamer?
Well, at least Nintendo will sell more accessories, I guess. Right?
That's true. But they won't be called Joy-Cons.
I think, like, going back to Ben talking about, like, bringing 2 and 3 over, to me, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the general sentiment is that the first one is the best one.
Yes, general.
2 was maybe a little bit too... 2 was a little bit too accessible. I think 3 was good, but people didn't enjoy it as much as the first one. So this is the one that kind of sparked that fandom, which I particularly don't like, but like, it was the one that kind of got it all going. You know, Demon's Souls is one that a lot of people are like, why don't they just remaster that? But I think that's not the game that people already have the nostalgia for, whereas this first Dark Souls game they do, if that makes sense.
I think Dark, to me at least, Dark Souls was almost the untouchable ideal, almost like the Ocarina of Time. And then to try and extrapolate on that, I believe Dark Souls 2 may have been just too derivative. I've only played a little bit of Demon's Souls, I've only played a little bit of Dark Souls 2, but I've finished Dark Souls, Dark Souls 3, and Bloodborne, just so we have a history.
Your credentials.
My credentials. My incomplete credentials.
Your gym badges.
Correct. Yes. But I think for most people, Dark Souls 3 brought it back, keeping it accessible, but making it challenging as well, and not being as derivative as Dark Souls 2. And it brought back that almost that closed circuit map style, where you constantly found the shortcuts and little nooks and crannies, whereas, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen, but Dark Souls 2 was quite linear.
Yeah, it wasn't fully linear, but if you're comparing it to Dark Souls 1 and 3, then yeah, relatively it was.
Yeah. So I would certainly be happy to see Dark Souls 3 at least come to Switch, or at least Bloodborne. Bloodborne would seem like the natural.
I don't think Bloodborne can
accessory game.
Can it?
I don't know. Like, if it all, guys, I guess, depends on whether this is running on some modified Dark Souls 3 engine.
No, I mean Sony, like, licensing.
Oh, yeah, you're very right. That's why Demon's Souls and Bloodborne would never come to Switch, because they're basically owned by Sony. Oh. You are right. But still, I think Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3. There were rumours of a trilogy, but I think that might have just been people getting mixed messages about, like, there's a PS4 trilogy box set that you can buy now, or pre-order now, and I think that's all that people were really referring to, but it'd be cool if the other ones came to Switch, just for people who've only discovered it now.
Just the trilogy box set, or are you referring to the Japan 9-disc collector's edition, which won't be coming to the West?
Yeah, that's the
trilogy box, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. That one's ridiculous. Oh,
that's the one and only trilogy.
Seems to
be. Yeah, that's all that exists. Okay. And that's 3 discs plus 6 discs of music.
Hell yeah. But yeah, that's Dark Souls. Did we have any general sort of vibe thoughts about the whole Direct? It was obviously people were hyping it up because that's what they do, but just generally your positive or negatives around the whole thing?
I think I think it's quite clear this is very much a first half of the year Direct. Do you know what I mean? They've kind of set up their first 5 months, which is fine. But to me, so like, I think that the Wii, statistically speaking, the Wii U ports to Switch make sense. Like, nobody played them compared to the people. There's more people on Switch who haven't played Wii U ports than the people who played them on Wii U. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the
numbers.
Like, I think a lot of people.
The install base is just there now.
It's just ridiculously more. And I think that with Donkey Kong, especially, a lot of people I have heard talk about this as the new Donkey Kong, and they don't realize it's an old game. Which to me. And I've always talked about how I think the Switch's success is it's a lot of those lapsed Nintendo gamers who have come back from Nintendo 64 and kind of jumped back on board with the Switch. And I think Donkey Kong is a perfect kind of game to get to kind of resonate with that audience. But then I can't help but think people like me who played almost everything either for books to review or just like, you know, for fun. Like, what do I have to play this on my Switch in the first 5 months or 6 months? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't. I'm not saying it was a bad showing at all, but it's just all games that I have kind of already played somewhere else.
It certainly felt like something to continue energizing the Switch for, like what you're saying, those lapsed gamers.
Yeah,
it felt a lot closer to that sort of vision rather than, you know.
And I totally understand that. Like, that makes sense from a business
point of view.
Definitely. But then I do think all those kind of hardcore people who played all the Wii U stuff and who then moved over to the Switch and they had Mario and Zelda, they've still kind of left with nothing of that caliber. Which is always going to be hard because that's all first party output, and Nintendo's first party output kind of can't be compared to, you know, MS or Sony. But I don't know. I just don't really know how much of this I will actually buy and put a lot of time into, if that makes sense. Oh, besides, like, obviously Kirby. I know that's
obviously Kirby.
And I've got, you know, I'm keen for Yoshi, but that's obviously was nowhere to be seen. I'm assuming that's going to be second half of the year. And then obviously I would have liked to have a few sneak peeks at some games that were a little bit further away, but I understand Nintendo doesn't really do that anymore, so I'm not going to get too upset about that.
I definitely feel as if this is quite indicative of the fact that they're just going for filler in these first 4 or 5 months. And as I sort of tried to do the maths in my head about what autumn meant for Mario Tennis Aces, well, naturally that's, I think, what, March, April, May?
Yeah.
So, and we actually had a May date for Tropical Freeze, I think May 25th, if I can remember it. So I found it interesting that they didn't want to pin that down. And they're keeping it quite open. There's no doubt we'll have a proper Nintendo Direct in the first half of this year. So, naturally, I don't want to judge Nintendo too much on this showing because all it's meant to be is really a sneak peek. I mean, it was only 12 minutes in length. So, definitely, I'll be looking more towards the middle of the year to finally have some sort of concrete information on Metroid and Pokemon. I can't help but be hungry for that, but I certainly didn't expect to see both or perhaps even one in this Direct, so I didn't feel let down in that aspect.
I wasn't disappointed. Like, I did not at any point think, oh, that's so annoying, like, how boring. Like, a lot of... For Donkey Kong, I think was the last kind of nail in the coffin for my Wii U. Like, I just couldn't bring myself to get rid of it, just in case I ever wanted to go back to Donkey Kong or Bayonetta, which obviously was announced previously. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know.
Cool.
I'll definitely... Like you say, I'll jump into Kirby. I know, and it wasn't in this Direct, but I'll jump into Bayonetta 2 at least again. And I'm almost certainly jump on the Dark Souls bandwagon. But again, like you're saying, they're all games that I've played before. It's not that I won't enjoy them, but I certainly won't feel as satiated as I did after finishing Odyssey, because, you know, that's their heavyweight AAA title. So. Yeah, it does hurt a little bit to know that we're not going to be playing our next big new game until perhaps second half of the year. But as always with Nintendo...
I question what that could be now for Nintendo. You know...
I don't think it's out of the question for it to be Metroid.
No, I don't...
Metroid doesn't have online connectivity, Pokemon does.
But Metroid's not big. Metroid is not... Like, you're not going to do Mario or Zelda numbers with a Metroid game, so... I don't know. I don't see that being their big game. I don't think it's coming this year, to be honest. I really think Smash Bros. Is going to be their big holiday game.
port or new?
Like a port of some sort, but like a very enhanced port.
Like Super Smash Bros. For Nintendo Switch, same as the others were.
Yeah, but like fully, you know, augmented or something with heaps of new stuff.
Smash Bros. Plus three stages and two characters.
Oh, I mean, I'd buy that.
I think the other big thing that I'm really surprised about and would be a really easy way to kind of fill gaps is that Nintendo didn't really talk about their Virtual Console yet. I think Steven was spreading a quiet campaign to get Reggie to say something, because apparently this time last year he said, come back to me in like a year.
Within 40 days.
We'll talk about, you know, Virtual Console and online, and we kind of have had nothing of that happen yet.
As we record, it was literally 1 year ago today, and yeah, they were like, oh, we know that, you know, people have got big Virtual Console things and we'll have information to come. There's 40 days between at that point and launch of the system, so there's a lot of time to tell you what it's all going to be. And that was a year ago. Come on, Reggie. Come on.
Like,
yeah,
make it
feels
happen.
Upsetting.
I like, it's not something I'm going to be angry about, but I want it to happen, you know?
Yeah, it would, as like, you say, it makes a lot of sense. It'd fill gaps kind of similarly to ports, but it would just make people so happy, and I imagine be less effort than, you know, than actual sort of ports of Wii U games. You just basically get an emulator running and throw games on it every couple of weeks.
The thing I think about is, and this might just be sort of taking a stab in the dark, and I certainly wouldn't want to weigh in on the validity of your Unilad and BuzzFeed-style articles, but you're constantly seeing stuff on the internet about when's Nintendo going to bring the Game Boy Mini. Oh, we're all expecting a Nintendo 64 Mini, and almost I feel as if Nintendo may have forced their hands with the NES and the Super NES Mini. What does that mean for Virtual Console? You know, do you want to spend $120 on 21 games, or do you want to spend $11.95 per Super Nintendo game, for example? So I don't know how they're going to work around that idea, personally. Because we're in a post-Wii U age now, where Virtual Console is maybe less relevant given those mini editions. Does that make any sense?
No, I disagree. I feel like that the mini consoles are going for a completely different market to the people. They're the people who want to get a $100 nostalgia fix as compared to, you know, a portable or home $460 console. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't feel like they're the same thing necessarily.
Maybe not the same, but almost Nintendo like not being servicing... sure if they're taking market share away from themselves, in a way.
It's like, they'll make money. But then they put Pokemon Crystal on 3DS, like... Why?
I think Stephen and I were talking about the fact that last year 3DS Virtual Console got, I think, two games.
Yeah, ish.
One of them was Pokemon, and then there was one more.
Yeah, it's kind of in a sad state.
Yeah, I would love to hear Virtual Console news sooner. I really hope it's first half of the year as well, but I feel like Nintendo's going to drop it at E3 or something now. But Vuk reckons, but I don't know, that... there's an investor thing or something soon that might have more info, so that will be interesting to see if that happens.
We'll keep an eye out on vux.net for that, I guess.
Always.
I need
forever.
A portable GameCube.
Oof.
Hopefully that will be your Switch next in a few months.
Yes, hopefully.
I mean, just to finish on my thoughts of the Direct, I think...
Oh, no, we don't care about your thoughts.
Oh, I know, but I'm going to put my thoughts in here anyway. Like, all of the
you
ports...
You have been stopped.
You guys. All of the Sorry. Ports that are, like, that are coming in this Direct almost seem like they looked at my play history of games I didn't finish on the Wii U, and they were like, hey, do you want to buy those again? You didn't play them last time. And so, I mean, Dark Souls doesn't fit under that, but they know I just want to play that. But, like Hyrule Warriors and World Ends With You... They're both games that and Donkey Kong as well. They're both all games that I want to play and I think I would really enjoy. Just didn't have the time due to whatever was going on at the time. And yeah, I am kind of lucky that all of these ports aren't games that I've played before. So it works out pretty well for me. So I'm overall pretty positive. Like I mentioned at work, just because there's a few people that are that type of lapsed gamer that you were talking about. There were people who haven't really played a console since N64 because who needs a console when you have a PC, lol. But this is the kind of stuff they're like, oh, what? There's a new Mario Tennis? This is awesome. So I know it's kind of pulling in that type of player as well, which is, you know, pretty positive. I'm pretty positive about this whole Nintendo Direct Mini. I'm happy.
I think for a Mini, there was a lot of stuff in it.
I mean, I started getting a bit worried when it got to the SNK Heroines part, and I'm like, where does it go from here? But I think there were some nice tidbits in there. I was more excited for the smaller stuff. Well, I'm going to call it small. The World Ends With You and those indie titles, and perhaps not everyone's excited for Mario Tennis, but it gives me hope for Mario Golf, and I absolutely adore Mario Golf. So, I mean, I'm happy with it. I didn't hype myself up to any extent. I just wish there was a Metroid tidbit, but that's more hopeful than anything else.
Cool. Well, yeah, any other thoughts before we finish off?
No, I don't have anything to add. I think it's nice that I can finally throw my Wii U in the bin or something.
In the cupboard, let's say.
Literally,
that was when Bayonetta was announced.
Yeah, no, and then I literally said when Bayonetta was announced. Now I just need Donkey Kong and we're set, and now we are. I just hope that the second half of the game, the year will be mainly new games.
But yeah,
I'm with James. See, on that.
We will see. Cool. Well, yeah, that was the direct, the 15-minute direct, an hour-ish talking about it. That seems good to me. But yeah, so this has been the Vookcast. If you want to follow me on social bits and pieces, I am at Stephen Impson. If you want to follow James, he is at Jams, ATJAMZ. Does Ben want to show his Twitter handle into public so that people can talk to him, or is he a private person?
No, sure. You can follow my exciting feed of cat pictures and crappy memes. It would be at Darth Robbo.
And we'll chuck that all in the show notes as well. But yeah, if you want to keep up to date with other things that have, you know, like Detective Pikachu that James mentioned, that'll all be on vooks.net, VOOKS.net. And Vooks is on the socials on everything, VOOKS.net on all the bits and pieces. But yeah.
We still don't have a Pinterest.
I'll get onto that, I promise. What? No, I probably won't. But yeah, thank you very much for listening. I hope this was a fun time for everyone. It was fun for me. I'm glad to talk to my friends. But yeah, until next time, catch you around, friends.
This is definitely therapy.
It literally is.
It's fine.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Have fun, everyone.